It's Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll hear about one woman's experience working as a physical therapist in Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
But first, a federal government study published yesterday in the journal Nature Climate Change concludes that biofuels made with corn residue release 7% more greenhouse gases in the short term compared with conventional gasoline. With us is Michael Kraft, a professor emeritus of public and environmental affairs at the UW-Green Bay, to explain what the study means for the environment and for the future of biofuels. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'd like to start by getting some background on this particular study and more specifically what they were studying. When a lot of people hear the word corn and biofuels, they automatically think of ethanol. But we're talking about something else here, aren't we?
Right. We're talking not about the corn kernels per se, but the leftovers, that is the stalk of the corn plant. And much depends in these kinds of studies on just how much of the residue is used. And I think for those who disagree with the study, that is one of the points of contention. So let's distinguish corn-based ethanol from the corn residue-based ethanol. And so this is the study is about what is called cellulosic ethanol, and that cellulosic refers to the woody parts of trees, and whether it's wood residue and from forestry operations or corn or other crops, that's a very different kind of conversion process than using corn itself.
And this is what we heard about, during the Bush administration when he was talking about switchgrass and things
that.
Same sort of thing.
And the hope is over time that you do not use corn or any other food crop. Now, I think the figures are still accurate that something like 40% of the U.S. corn crop is used for ethanol production. And that has driven up the prices of corn and other food around the world. So the reason to pursue cellulosic-based ethanol rather than corn-based is to not use food crops but try something else. So the reason why the study is important is it's not worth doing any of this if it produces no benefit in terms of reduced greenhouse gases compared to gasoline. And that's the focus of the study. They said it did not produce a lowering of greenhouse gases beyond burning regular gasoline. And if that finding is upheld in later studies, that would mean cellulosic ethanol would not meet the current EPA standard for renewable biofuels and obviously would not be doing much to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the United States or anywhere else.
Now, have you had a chance to take a look at the study? And if so, what do you think?
Yeah. I've looked at summaries of the study, not the study per se, and then we can get, I'm a political scientist, not a biochemist or an ecologist. But what I saw is, first of all, you mentioned this is a federal government study, but it wasn't done by the federal government. It was done by an assistant professor of biological systems engineering at the University of Nebraska. And the EPA itself says its own analysis was different from the assumptions made in that study. And I see in one AP release, an EPA spokesperson said that the study we're talking about, quote, does not provide useful information relevant to the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from corn stover ethanol, meaning corn residue. There's a comparison in this press release to a peer-reviewed study that the Department of Energy itself did 2 years ago, which found that biofuels made with corn residue were, in fact, 95% better than gasoline. Now, on the other side, David Tillman, who's a very widely regarded ecologist at the University of Minnesota, says this study suggests it will be very hard to make a biofuel that has a better greenhouse gas impact than gasoline. He says it's the best study he's seen so far. So what I conclude from that is, as is true of many academic studies, the conclusion depends on how the study is designed. For any energy source, you need a very complete, what we call, life cycle analysis. And if you make different assumptions than, for example, the Department of Energy or EPA does, you might well come to different conclusions. So my draw from this is we ought to do some more studies. We ought to be sure before we commit the nation to using cellulosic-based ethanol, or for that matter, corn-based ethanol, that it makes sense. That is, that it really does reduce greenhouse gases and is economically viable. Otherwise, there's no point in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting for people who follow biofuels and the debate over that. This just adds, I guess, more murkiness to the whole thing. It seems as though we get conflicting studies and have been getting in conflicting studies.
Yeah, we get conflicting studies everywhere. We do it on healthcare, on, you know, on food safety, on the outcomes of different medical procedures, on school voucher programs, and what. This is the nature of science. And so this is the first major study that apparently has thoroughly examined the issue. There will be other studies. In the meantime, the country still has a national policy, which Congress approved in 2007, which set up this renewable fuel standard, which says we ought to be relying more on renewable fuels. And this was done in part to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but also in part to reduce oil imports to the United States. Now, the oil imports have gone way down. Since President Obama took office, we've gone from 60% all the way down to what this year is estimated to be only 30%. But that's not so much from using ethanol as from increased oil and gas production in the United States and better fuel economy in U.S. cars and trucks. Still, biofuels are very important for the future. Cellulosic ethanol is only one way to do this. There are all kinds of experiments underway using algae, for example, to directly produce biofuel. And I think this is an exciting time. In the next 5 or 10 years, we'll find ways to make fuel for our cars and other purposes that is not derived from oil, namely gasoline, or is not necessarily derived from a food crop. So this is... we're early in that process, and this is one study. Looks like it's a pretty good one. Does raise some questions. EPA says they don't agree with it. DuPont, which is heavily invested in biofuels, says they don't think it was a good study either. And that's not so unusual in studies in many different fields, as I mentioned. So we'll go from here.
Yeah, but as you say, the situation energy-wise has really changed since 2007, and oil production all of a sudden is a factor here in the U.S. and that it wasn't. Does that take a lot of that pressure off that we saw back in 2007 to come up with something to replace oil?
Yeah, it does. But Congress was motivated at that time mainly by heavy U.S. reliance on imported oil. Now there's a different factor. I think, as most of your listeners know, this has been a year we've had three major reports from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the latest one coming just a short time ago. And all of these lead to increased concern about greenhouse gas emissions, mostly based on use of fossil fuels. There's a little bit of one cause is deforestation, but mostly it's because we use coal, oil, and natural gas. We and most other countries in the world, and that simply has to change. And it has to change soon, in the next 10 to 15 years, the IPCC says. So I would say that means an intensive period of investigation of different kinds of energy technologies, and biofuels would be one of those. And we'll, you know, we go from there. We have to be sure that there's a payoff to what we're doing. But it's a little hard to tell from the present research.
So if it's not cellulosic biofuels, what other kind of biofuels do you think right now hold some promise as far as being viable in the future?
Well, again, it's hard for me. I'm not an expert in biofuels to speak to that. But I've read quite a few articles in various newspapers and journals that suggest there's a lot of promise in algae-based biofuel production. There are a lot of companies getting heavy investment from Silicon Valley venture capitalists to try to find something there. We're still very much early in this whole process. From my perspective, and I think this is what the Department of Energy at the federal level has done, is to invest heavily in cutting-edge research to find answers, just like this study produced, which is what works and what doesn't work, what is promising. How do we design better studies so we can chart a clearer path to the future? And at this point, as President Obama is fond of saying, it's all of the above. That is, we need to use a variety of energy sources, but we also need to start moving away, and to do it soon, from fossil fuels to alternatives. And any path we find that's going to be productive in that sense is worth looking at. And biofuels hold a great deal of promise. I don't think the study says that's the end of biofuels. It does suggest some caution about moving quickly toward certain ways of using cellulosic-based ethanol.
And it sounds as though you're also saying that this is not the definitive study that people should hang their hat on, that there doesn't...
Well, what I'm saying is the news releases I've seen show that the EPA and DuPont and other people who have looked very carefully at cellulosic ethanol express doubts about this study being the definitive study. And that's not unusual in the way scientific research goes. But it tells me just because one study, even though it was a pretty good one, finds that it's not better than gasoline, that's not the last word on the subject.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
That was Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Public and Environmental Affairs at the UW Green Bay.